Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Fire Away, our online Q&A show focusing on the employment law issues that matter to you. My name is Stuart Rudner. I'm an employment lawyer and mediator and your host for this episode of Fire Away. Today we're going to be talking about civility and incivility in the workplace and how that relates to all the concerns we hear about harassment in the workplace. I'm very excited to be joined today by Sharon Bar-David. Sharon is the president of Bar-David Consulting, which is a boutique firm specializing in helping organizations create civil work environments through consulting, training, learning tools, and coaching and rehabilitation for abrasive leaders. Sharon is a leading expert on workplace incivility, and she is the author of Trust Your Canary, Every Leader's Guide to Taming Workplace Incivility. I should also mention that Sharon is wearing Rudner blue on her nails today, and thank her for that. I can't say that I have anything to compete with that. Sharon, thank you for joining me and welcome to the show.
My pleasure. And just so that people know, here is the blue right off the bat, special for the occasion. A first for me, I'm sure a first for you too.
Definitely a first for us. And next time we have you on, you can wear orange as well. So we'll complete the full color palette.
Absolutely.
I'm really looking forward to our discussion. And in past episodes, we talked a lot about the Me Too movement, I should say, and sexual harassment in the workplace. Today, we're talking about harassment of a different nature, but also civility. And you and I have worked together before, and I know you have a lot of experience and a lot of insight into the issues of incivility, abrasive leaders. So let's start off. I wanted to ask you about this. We talk a lot about harassment. But then you talk more about incivility and abrasive leaders. How do those two things differ? What's the difference between incivility and harassment?
Well, harassment are those things that often are protected by law, that organizations have to have policies about. It's the objectionable behavior, depending on the jurisdictions in which you are operating, but it's generally behavior which is really undesirable. It may be of the kind that is defined as prohibited grounds in, let's say, in our jurisdictions, that is based on race, gender, sexual orientation, family status, all of those things. There's always the intent issue, but harassment generally are things that a reasonable person should know would not be okay. And most people don't engage in harassment. Workplace incivility is the low intensity things. It's the seemingly insignificant behaviors that anyone can engage in. That could be eye rolling, that can be the use of a mobile device during a meeting, speaking in a tone, gossiping about someone. The kind of behaviors that, while may not be intentional, rub people the wrong way and often bring us to be really affected by it. It's very hard to write a policy. What are you going to say in the policy? Thou shalt say hello to everyone within the first 10 minutes of without shift. It's kind of impossible to do that.
It is. And I mean, I know we've talked about this before, but and one of the points I want to make later in the show is there is a very big difference between harassment and incivility, or harassment and abrasiveness. And we've had complaints. I've had people call our firm saying I'm being harassed at work. And when we try to really drill down to find out what's going on, it's my boss doesn't say good morning to me. My boss talks to me while he's looking at his phone. My boss, you know, interrupts me when I'm speaking. So maybe abrasive, maybe not the best form of managing and the type of thing that you can help with, Sharon, but it doesn't rise to the level of a legal issue and certainly not to harassment. And that's obviously where we come in. We've helped a lot of people over the years who have been suffering through really bad, really serious harassment at work. And we've helped give them the advice they need to deal with the situation, to speak to whoever is appropriate to speak to. And in many cases, we've had the issue resolved. In other cases, we've helped them, you know, develop an exit strategy and get them compensation. But in any event, my point here is just to point out that sometimes at the end of the discussion, we'll say, you know what, this is not how it should be. And ideally, your boss should not behave that way, but it's not a legal issue. And I suspect that you probably see a lot of that as well. But that's where you can come in and help them make a better workplace, even though there's no legal necessity to do so.
Yeah. So to differentiate between the two, to create another distinction, incivility per se, workplace incivility, is, I like to call it the equal opportunity phenomenon. So anyone can be uncivil. An employee or a manager can be uncivil towards their colleague, their peer. A manager can be uncivil towards an employee, and certainly someone lower can be uncivil to someone higher. And I get that often with managers, that an employee or some employees are uncivil towards them. They feel very much like they can't respond. Mm-hmm. So that's when we talk about workplace incivility. You were just referring to the cases where you get the complaint and the issue that comes to you as the lawyer, where the consistent behavior, is there such a word, the consistent person behaving in those ways?
It is now.
It is now, the behavior. That person is in a leadership position. And that's when that behavior might cause distress in the workplace. So the definition that we use for abrasive leader is not someone who necessarily yells, shouts, swears, makes gestures. It can, of course, be that. Mm-hmm. But creating the distress in the workplace through one's interpersonal style can happen just, for example, through excessive sarcasm, making jokes that are at people's expense. It can be by the manager, exactly as you described, and an employee is talking and the manager is on their device. There are many, many other ways. When it becomes cumulative, that's often where you'll see people on sick time. That's often where sometimes the calls that we get are, I mean, thinking about one situation where there was a mutiny. The team, the manager was away, and they called the higher up, the VP, and under some guise got that person down to their floor and then basically sat in a room, around the room, and talked about all the horrors that they were experiencing. And the person who ended up being my client was devastated. Never knew. And at the end of the coaching, as that person said, that day when my staff did the rebellion turned out to be one of the best days of my life. But she was at that time not very old. There was a whole lot of career ahead of her. And learning how her behavior was perceived and making the changes turned out to be a whole different career opener for her.
That's interesting.
Not knowing that she was causing people to cry, to have anxiety attacks when she would get in the vicinity, terrible things, completely in the blind spot.
Yeah, and that's a good news story where you had someone who just was completely unaware of the impact of their behavior and found out, hopefully relatively early in her career, and was able to change and move forward. And then sometimes you have people who are very much aware of the fact that they are not touchy-feely, friendly kind of people, and that's just their style, and they have no desire to change. And this, you know, when I get my chance to fire away at the end of this episode, one of the points I'm going to make is that there is no law against being a jerk. And you can have bosses who are jerks and who are rude and uncaring and deliver performance reviews in very negative ways. That's not unlawful, and that's not harassment. But it can, to your point, really impact the workplace and cause people to go off on extended sick leaves, just impact performance. People aren't going to work for you the same way if they hate you, essentially. So it has some very real impacts in the workplace, even if it doesn't rise to the level of harassment, which would create a legal cause of action. But in many cases, as you said, people aren't aware of it. And maybe that's a good segue, actually. Rob, I know we talked about playing a video, and I was going to save it for later, but we talked about the fact that people aren't aware of how their actions are perceived. And I wanted to play this video, which is very humorous for many reasons. But anyways, let's have a look, and then we can talk about it.
I've been here for over 5 minutes, and the only nice thing you have said to me was nice resume, which I typed all night for this meeting with you. You've given me no guidance, no validation, no encouragement, no supervision. Is there an HR director somewhere?
HR director?
Yes, I need to speak to someone. I may have to take off today as a mental health day.
So just for people who haven't seen that video yet, you can find it on YouTube, and the link will be, you'll be able to get to the link. But it's in the context of a job interview, and the applicant is clearly a stereotypical millennial, and I don't mean this to suggest that all millennials are like that, but she's applying to us, I think, an individual. There's not a large corporation. There's no HR department. And she goes on and on about her expectations, including that the best time of day to start is 10:45, which is when he says, I don't think we're going to be a good fit. And that's when she goes into that, little rant. So it's funny, but it also, when I wanted to play this to make the point that people often don't realize how their behavior is perceived, or how they are perceiving things. This millennial is seeing him saying, I don't think we're going to be a good fit, as a complete rejection. As she says, I've had no positive feedback, nothing at all to go upon, because she expects to have the positive feedback. So I guess one of the questions I wanted to talk to you about, and maybe relates to the video in some ways, is when you enter into a situation where you've been retained, you've been told there's an issue with incivility or an abrasive leader, what's the first thing that you do?
It's two different paths that we're walking. So if someone is calling to say, we have an issue with a leader in this organization, it's someone we want to keep. If they don't want to keep them, if the organization doesn't want to keep them, there's no conversation. But there, usually my clients are extremely smart, extremely talented. There's a reason why they got to where they were. Often they were incentivized to continue the behavior because of the success, or a blind eye was turned to the behavior because, again, of the success. So in that case, it's really the way that my program works is the organization calls me, and then they have to say to that abrasive person, something's got to change. We can't afford this risk anymore. And usually there's different reasons why that they would say that. And there are negative perceptions about you out there, and we've got to get rid of those negative perceptions. Here's the telephone call, the telephone number of this coach that specializes in situations like this. And when they call me this abrasive leader, and I also have a special note for them, a personal note for me on the website, so they can know what they're facing. They might be raging. They might be anxious. They might be scared. And felt that they're the victim now. Here I was all this time and there was not a problem, and suddenly I'm being sent to who knows what, and bad, big old bad me. And I explained to them, look, I don't know whether you're abrasive or not. I don't know. All I know is two things. A, that there are perceptions out there that are negative about you, and B, that those are now getting in the way of your career success. Because the organization would have needed to tell them, this has got to stop or else. And at that point, I go, and I, if you retain me as your co-researcher, I will go, I will get the data for you about what those perceptions are. Hard, reliable data. I'll collect it myself. No one will see it except you. Your employer will never see it. And then we will work to understand how you can make those negative perceptions go away, never to come back again. So who would buy that, right? It's like, I'm completely on their side, and my clients know once the contract is signed, I'm in their boat. It's me and them navigating them to get rid of this problem they've had. And even if they knew, going back to what you said, Stuart, even if they know, yes, so I make people cry sometimes. So what? Yes, we have to get to the top of the mountain. I've got to be first. If someone is slow or lazy, I got to, they might know that, but yeah. They don't realize really the depth of what they're causing. And once it becomes a problem for them, a career stopper for them, their motivation is huge. So then the change is hard to believe. These people can change within 3 months, 180 degrees.
That, look, I've seen it and I know it. This often happens where, you know, we're retained to do investigations. In our firm, I've said this before, we prefer not to do the actual investigation, although we can. We prefer to manage the investigation. So if we get a complaint about harassment, sexual harassment, et cetera, we can't be both investigator and counsel. We'd rather be counsel to the employer or retain the third party to come and do a neutral investigation. And what we often see is there are allegations of harassment and bullying. And when I get the report, and we're not involved in the fact finding, that's for an investigator to make a determination. Was there harassment or was there not harassment? And often what we see is a finding there was no harassment, but the leader or whoever it is in question had it's often called an old school managerial approach, and they were abrasive and perhaps less than civil. And so that's when we reach out to someone like you and get you to come in, because there may be no legal issue there, maybe no legal liability, but there's still a very significant issue in the workplace that you can come in and train and hopefully, as you said, reverse. And you also mentioned something interesting before, which is it's not always manager being uncivil to subordinate. It's often the workers who are being disrespectful or insolent, is the legal term, toward their manager. And that's even more interesting, because in that context, there should be discipline. As I mentioned before, I've written a book on just cause for dismissal. It's called You're Fired. Again, nothing to do with Donald Trump. But this is one of the issues we see all the time, is can you impose discipline for someone being rude to their manager? A, yes, you absolutely can. But B, if it's someone that is otherwise a good worker that you want to keep, that's when you, Sharon, can come in and make them realize what they're doing, because in many cases, they probably don't even realize it. And then you can have the situation totally reversed.
Yes. So in my tours around different workplaces and different industries, it's very interesting because we go to different industries, different sizes, organizations. It's a very interesting vantage point. And maybe one day I'll write another book. Instead of Trust Your Canary, I'll write a book, What I've Learned Observing Organizations. You know what, Stuart, we should write it together, because we probably had. Now there's an idea.
I'm not taking any more book projects. Tell me in 15 minutes.
But one of the things I've seen, if I were to generalize, I would say that when a number of staff members are uncivil towards their manager, it's typically that the organization has already gone, they're already in a disease mode, what I call, in chronic disease, where managers are kind of, you can just kick them around. That's an organization where, like, in those films, I say, if they're calling us for training, I'll say, training is not the solution for you. What we do is training for staff. We do tons of training for leaders. But in that situation, it wouldn't be training. The other time, and I wonder if this corresponds with your observations, is sometimes it is one person who is rude towards the manager, and that person is sometimes a person who's doing it under the guise of being the union rep. And they're really, in a way, misusing their union rep capacity. So they will slam doors. They will, nowadays you can't slam a phone anymore, but they can be all kinds of rudeness in front of other staff under the guise of union stewardship, which to me is a misuse of what a union rep should do, how they should conduct themselves. So that's where I see mostly. But what we see in a lot of sessions, there was a time, I don't do that anymore, but I used to ask people, what percent of incivility, based on your observations, how many people are here in the room, 20 people, 100 people, put up notes, what you think the percentage of people are who are uncivil manager downward, what percent are horizontal, and what percent are upward. And what room after room would say is that the vast majority, they are guessing, and then we compare it to a piece of research that was done. Typically, it looks like this, like a person with a really overweight hip area, waist area. Mm-hmm. Most of the people observe that incivility happens mainly amongst employees, and some happens for managers, some happens upwards, but the most is the little things that happen between people daily, of which they all admit that they too can engage in.
Yeah, not surprising at all to hear that. So I know we've only got about a minute or two left, and I wanted to briefly refer back. You and I collaborated on an article for the Globe and Mail, believe it or not, in 2014. And it was called Employees Being Rude to Coworkers, Make It Your Business. And I'm going to read you a quote from that, and I just want to get your thoughts on how it applies in 2018. So what you and I wrote was, employers should train their managers and HR professionals to be mindful of any team dynamics that are uncivil or exclude someone consistently. Even seemingly inconsequential uncivil behavior can lead to psychological damage to the employee, affect productivity, and potentially expose the employer to liability. So that was in 2014. What have you seen change between 2014 and now, and has it changed the way you approach any of these issues?
I get, and I bet you do too, many more phone calls on things that people before wouldn't pick up the phone to ask help for.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I've said it many times before. We constantly get calls, whether it's sexual harassment in the Me Too era or just more allegations of harassment and bullying. And as I mentioned before, you know, we often get allegations of harassment that aren't really harassment. I'll mention this in my segment later when I get to fire away. There's a big difference to managing and bullying. And that's one of the things I see often is that, you know, people complain because their manager, you know, told them they weren't doing their job properly or disciplined them for coming in late. And they allege that was harassment. So that's the type of thing I'm unfortunately seeing a lot more often these days.
Uh-huh.
So as I told you at Wood, Sharon, the time has absolutely flown by. So let me thank you for joining me, and I hope you can again. And next time you can come with your orange nail polish just to complete the Redner Law colors. But thank you so much for joining us. And if anyone is interested in learning more about Sharon and her consulting practice, you can go to www.sharonbardavid.com. or email her directly at Sharon@SharonBardavid.com. And she has a wealth of knowledge and experience that she can bring to you. So Sharon, thank you again for joining
me. Thank you, Stuart. And I will say on our website, there's a huge, huge learning hub that's all free. Anyone can access tons of articles and other materials. So all for free.
Great.
Thank you, Stuart. A pleasure as always.
Great. Thank you, Sharon. Today, I'm going to be following up on a discussion I had with Sharon Bardavid in episode 7 of Fire Away, where we talked about civility and incivility in the workplace and dealing with abrasive leaders. And I wanted to mention, as I was preparing for this, I actually looked back and found an article that I had written back in 2012 for Canadian HR Reporter. And the title was, Managing is Not Bullying. Employees cannot characterize any negative interaction with a supervisor as bullying. So obviously, this is not a new thought that I've had, but it's probably even more relevant in 2018. What I'm finding these days is that we have more and more focus on bullying and harassment, which is really great. And I can say our firm has helped a lot of people who have found themselves in really horrific situations where they're being bullied, they're being harassed, and we've helped them either fix the situation by dealing with the management to get things remedied, or we've gotten them out of the situation and got them compensation for it and helped them find a new job. One way or the other, we've helped a lot of people. We've seen how serious this issue can be. The problem is that oftentimes what people call harassment really isn't. Unfortunately, some people have the impression that any negative interaction with their boss, with their supervisor, with HR is harassment. And one of the points that we often make is the entitlement to be free from harassment doesn't mean that you have an entitlement to be free every negative interaction. And the law is very clear on this point. Employers are entitled to manage their employees. They're entitled to insist that they follow the workplace rules. They're entitled to impose discipline if they don't follow the rules. They are entitled to manage their performance. They're entitled to give negative performance reviews, even put workers on performance improvement plans where it's appropriate. If all of that is part of a campaign to harass someone or to force them to quit, that's harassment. But where the actions are warranted, it's perfectly appropriate. It's not harassment. And what I thought is interesting is in Ontario, we have Bill 132, which came into force in the fall of 2016 to deal with harassment and sexual harassment in the workplace. There were requirements for policies, for procedures to deal with harassment. They also had new definitions of what harassment and what sexual harassment is. And what I thought was very interesting is they also included an explanation of what is not harassment. And what Bill 132 says is that reasonable action taken by an employer or supervisor relating to the management and direction of workplace or the workplace is not harassment. So the Ontario government even turned their minds to this and wanted to make it very clear. And this is the first point I want to make today is there's a very big difference between managing and harassing. That's the first thing to mention. And we often work with individuals either to help them, as I mentioned before, or to explain to them that what they are experiencing may be unpleasant, but it's not harassment. And in those cases, we've saved some people from making very serious mistakes because they wanted to go ahead and essentially quit and file a claim for harassment. And we've explained to them that they can always quit and they can always find a new job. But if they do so without finding a new job and try to file a claim, they're going to lose. And it's going to cost them a whole lot of money in addition to really interrupting their career. So that's the first point. It's a very big difference in managing and harassment or harassing. Second point I wanted to make, there is no law against being a jerk as a boss. And I made that point in my discussion with Sharon Bar David in episode 7 of Fire Away. I'll make it again now because we see this a lot where we have people call us and they are complaining that they're being harassed. And of course, we'll sit down. Anybody that calls, we'll sit down with you. We'll talk it through. We'll try to get to the heart of the matter. But in many cases, it's, you know, as Sharon and I discussed in episode 7, it's the boss doesn't say good morning to them every day. The boss is talking to them and looking at their phone at the same time or interrupting them or giving them negative feedback in perhaps not the most kind or respectful of ways. That may be very unpleasant. It might mean that you have an uncivil workplace and you may have an abrasive boss, and it's the type of thing that Sharon Bar David can help you with, but it's not harassment. It doesn't give rise to a legal cause of action. And it's important that people understand that. When we work with employers, we will help them to put policies in place. And the policy should not just say, we don't tolerate harassment and we have a zero tolerance policy for harassment. What it has to do to begin with is explain what is harassment and, more importantly, what is not harassment. So getting back to Bill 132, make it very clear that harassment is not managing, even if it's negative interactions. But also make it very clear that if there is harassment as an employer, you make it clear where the employee should go to report it and what you will do, and that you will take every reasonable action to address it. And we work with employers day in and day out to deal with these things. From an employee perspective, if you think you're being harassed, contact HR, speak to your manager if they're not the harasser, or give us a call and we can talk to you. We can make sure that it really is harassment, and we can give you the guidance, give you a strategy on how to deal with the situation, including perhaps an exit strategy. If it's so bad and it is not going to be resolved, if you've gone to HR, they're clearly doing nothing about it, we'll help you develop an exit strategy as well and help you get compensation for what you've gone through. But either way, if you think that you need help, then you probably should be going to see a lawyer. And this thing I say every episode of Fire Away, which is that if you think you need an employment lawyer, you probably do. If you as an employee are experiencing these issues, if you're an employer and you see there is harassment or you suspect there is, or you've had a complaint or heard rumblings, you need to deal with it. These issues rarely go away on their own. So if you think you need an employment lawyer, reach out to us. We'll be happy to help you. But otherwise, it's very important that people understand what is harassment and what is not, and that, unfortunately, having a jerk as a boss doesn't mean you're being harassed. So that's my 2 cents worth, and you've got it here for free. So on the next episode of Fire Away, I am very excited that we're going to be discussing off-duty conduct and how it can jeopardize your job. And that's going to include a discussion of social media and online conduct and the type of posts and things you can do online that might cost you your job in the long run. I'm very excited to have Martin Burt of HR Athme Consulting join me next month. Martin is a senior HR professional with lots of real-world experience. He and I have collaborated before in various contexts. And interestingly, Martin is also a prolific writer, and he writes for the Financial Post often. And recently, he wrote an article called "So You're Not a Toxic Boss, But You May Be a Little Sickening," which relates very much to the episode or to the topic of today's episode, where Sharon and I were discussing civility and abrasive bosses. I forgot to mention this at the beginning, but I'll say it now. If you have any questions during the show, you can always post comments on YouTube or Facebook. You can also tweet referencing @RudnerLaw. But also, if you have topics for future shows or questions for the upcoming shows, feel free to comment or tweet or email us, and we'd love to have you join us. Remember as well that these Fireway airs online every month, but it's also old or previous episodes are always available online on our website, on our Facebook page, and on our YouTube channel. So thank you very much for watching. Sharon, thank you so much again for joining me. Rob, thank you as always for keeping me on track. And I hope everyone has a great day.